You're listening to the only podcast in the universe where clothing is optional, but pot is not. Broadcasting from FEMA Region 7, it's Bowl After Bowl with your hosts, Lorian and Spencer.
I don't make the rules. I just bowl with them. And here we are bowling again. It is another beautiful Tuesday night. Hope you're feeling all right. It is a cool 60 degrees here in FEMA Region 7 on this beautiful October 8th, 2024. And you're listening to episode 345 of Bowl After Bowl. I'm Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City.
And I am Dame DeLorean.
Okay. Now, a little segment that all of the Noster Bros have come to love and respect called
On chain, cocaine, shit thing. Go! Streaming sass, push the ground, make you really wanna build a no.
Yes, the on-chain, off-chain, cocaine shit stain, in which we talk a little bit about Bitcoin stuff, what's going on in the world of Bitcoin, macro and micro, by the way, because the micro stuff is frankly more important because it directly affects us, right?
Yes.
Micro is where we live, and the macro is kind of how we base what we're going to maybe do tomorrow. But most of the macro is fake and gay. Like this next round of stories, I want to kind of just get into some headlines this time. I want to switch things up. I want to start with some news.
Okay.
Because I know how I get if I just go to what's going on in my life, I get completely retarded. So let's just start off. I think the dumbest thing leads, the least consequential headline, the one that everybody has been chomping on for the last 4 days. HBO's new documentary, which went live conveniently right as we started the show. Yes.
Oh, what timing.
9 p.m. Central. What a great launch time for such a consequential documentary, surely. So the little snippet stories throughout the last 4 or 5 days or whenever this began to leak out and frankly be promoted in the press is what's happening, right?
Yes.
The promotion tour cycle kicked off in the past week to build hype and intrigue and mystery for this HBO documentary directed by the same guy who unmasked some QAnon chud, right? So, the big claim, the big getcha gotcha, is that supposedly this documentarian is finally going to unmask and name the real guy who is Satoshi Nakamoto. Yeah, this shit again. If you've been around, then all you do is gently shake your head and go, "Wow, okay, this shit again." Remember, Dorian Nakamoto, who is famously memed now anytime someone brings up Satoshi or has a funny React Bitcoin meme, they post a picture of Dorian Nakamoto and a hilarious kind of expression captured on his face. Some hotshot journalist a few years back unmasked him as the real Satoshi, and he was just kind of flabbergasted and was not Satoshi, but did get harassed by the entire world for a little while. Made him like a weird micro celebrity and is still celebrated to this day. And kind of meme images of him are like, fuck it. Yeah, sure. That's Satoshi. Also, yeah. The hoodie statue in Budapest.
Oh, yes.
Is put as a picture of Satoshi because Satoshi's just a dude in a hoodie. Satoshi, so this has been kind of a mystery from the beginning, since the Genesis block, of this guy, Satoshi Nakamoto, a pseudonym for the dude who came up with this system we know now as Bitcoin. So, HBO's documentarian here is going to finally pull the mask off. Well, ahead of the release today, the IMDb page for this documentary was edited by users to make everyone in the cast appear as the Bitcoin creator.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I kind of halfway expected. Now, some bowlers have seen parts or all of this documentary by now. In fact, a careful sideways glance at my Nostr notifications just moments back revealed that Eric PP might have already seen this thing. He is a guy who's just right on the cutting edge. He said it was dumb. I knew it was dumb from the very first headline I read last week in the middle of the week about this. I thought, wow, this is going to be dumb. This is going to be a big whomp of a nothing that we already knew. So it kind of struck me as a little curious thing. And of course, betting markets went crazy. Who are they going to say it is, right? There's your old kind of cast of characters like Adam Back or like Hal Finney or other guys like this who were involved in the early days. Some of the Bitcoin Core developers who have been involved from the early days are always among the same circle of people who are like, well, it could have been this guy. It could have been this guy. Craig Wright used to get thrown in that until that finally got officially shut down by courts and shit. But we knew from the very first whiff of that bullshit story that he has never been on that level.
Yeah, now he has a legal disclaimer. He is not.
Yeah, now he has to tell everybody on his website for like a fucking year that he's definitely not the guy. So we knew it wouldn't be him named. That would have been funny, though. That would have been pretty funny if HBO was like, no, we've met this guy. He said for sure he was Satoshi. And then you got like a bunch of trouble because he's still saying it. But yes, here's the real moral of the meme. We are all Satoshi, right? And so that's what people were editing into the IMDb page on the cast list. Basically, everybody that appeared in the cast, they changed the credit to Satoshi Nakamoto for a bunch of peoples, which is great. It's fun. Hilarious memes. But what does it really say? Well, according to pre-leaks, and I haven't seen it because I've been sitting in this chair ever since it released, right? And
dang, I thought that was what the movie was saying. I thought that was a team effort. they were naming everybody.
You know, when I read that article at first, I was like, wow, that would be the actual
play. Yeah.
That would be the play. But no, I think Colin Hoback, yeah, that's his name, Colin Hoback, Cullen, by the way, I want my Hoback. former Bitcoin dev Peter Todd is the guy they're pointing the finger at, saying, this is the one, this is the guy. He used to be a Bitcoin Core dev, involved in some early days, been a guy that people have talked to, and he's said things about stuff. Here he is hanging out with, I think Adam Back is the other gentleman in this photo. So they're hanging out together. Just some guys that are developers that worked on the software early. Former Bitcoin, and this is from Coindesk.com, a story coming out. This dropped just before the release and this afternoon at like 4:30. Of course I'm not Satoshi, Peter Todd told Coindesk on Tuesday, saying that filmmaker Colin Hoback was, quote, grasping at straws. Leaked clips from HBO's soon-to-premiere, just premiered now, as of this recording, Satoshi Nakamoto documentary seems to finger former Bitcoin developer Peter Todd, as the cryptocurrency's creator, but Todd denies it. I would also deny a fingering.
Yeah.
Come on, you gotta fucking take me out to Buga de Beppo first, buy me a meatball. Can't just go fingering me right away. Fucking atrocious. These journalists have no respect. In an email to CoinDesk, Todd said filmmaker Colin Hoback, yes, that's right, best known for identifying the person behind the QAnon conspiracy theory in an earlier series for HBO, and I'm sure that was right on the money accurate, was, quote, grasping at straws if he's identifying Todd as Satoshi. Yes, that interview did happen, and I believe that specific shot isn't deepfaked, he confirmed, though he added he had not yet seen the documentary. Of course I'm not Satoshi, Todd said. It's ironic that a director who is also known for a documentary on QAnon has resorted to QAnon-style coincidence-based conspiracy thinking here, too. Ooh, that's a great dig. That's like using a little judo move there, you know?
Isn't it ironic that the guy who did the QAnon is now a QAnon guy, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
On Tuesday afternoon in New York, hours before the premiere of Money Electric, the Bitcoin mystery, I don't even want to say the title, but I just had to get, like, that's the gayest title.
Yeah.
Right. Of course they would call it that. I bet it has sparkles on the DVD release. I bet they put glitter on the front of it. Money Electric. How long did Hoback sit around shopping other titles? And he's like, nah, you know what? I really like Money Electric, though. That's the one that we should go with. Money Electric. You know, because it's like money, but like electrically. Yeah. This is the creative minds of our time, ladies and gentlemen. So on Tuesday afternoon, the odds on Polymarket's bet over whom the film will identify as Satoshi overwhelmingly favored other/multiple. So they said it wouldn't name anybody on the list of the market, or it would be like, we are all Satoshi, or it would be like most of these shits are, because this article has been done hundreds of times since 2009. It has been done over and over again, and it always comes up with this little short list at the end of like, well, it was probably either Hal Finney or it was, and you know, these guys have all been named and pondered upon before, right? And they've all come out and said, nah, dog, it wasn't me. Or they'll say, oh, it was the fucking CIA, man. You know, like, this has been discussed to death. Okay, this has been discussed as much as price action from Tuesday to Friday, right? It's like the thing people talk about. Who was Satoshi? Well, the point is like that it doesn't matter.
Right.
So, you know, just fucking knock it off already with this trying to figure it out, because it's just not going to work. And if it does, then you suck, right? I think we should tar and feather if the guys ever actually found out. I think it's a guy who's dead, by the way. I think it's a dead guy who isn't Hal Finney. That's what I think.
Mm.
I think it's both a guy who's dead and not Hal Finney. Previously, cypherpunk Lynn Sassman and then computer programmer Nick Szabo held the lead on Polymarket's list of possible HBO Toshis. That's a great way to put it. HBO Toshi. Just another layer of fake Toshi.
Yeah.
At the time of the Polymarket's bet creation, Todd was not listed as a possibility, so anyone who wanted to bet on him would have to choose other/multiple, and now that it's over 70% of the market, you're probably not going to make a big swing if you win because of how these betting markets work. Even in the clip circulating on social media, Todd calls the theory that he is Satoshi, quote, ludicrous. To be clear, only snippets of the film are circulating online, and it's possible that in the end, Hoback reaches a different conclusion about Satoshi's identity that he did not share in the scene with Todd. Possible. Maybe Bowlers could spoil the shit out of that in the chat. Maybe not. It's up to you. I don't really care one way or the other because it's wrong either way. Here from Forbes magazine, because again, when Forbes gets involved, we know how fucking really on the pulse and accurate and read in they are on our little scene that we have going on here. They know all of our moves, right? They very much understand the technology, where it came from, who's doing what. They're not just sitting down with some marketing guy and taking stickers and t-shirts from him and saying, oh wow, you are a really old school cool guy. No, they get deeper involved. They know what's going on over at Forbes magazine. Who is Peter Todd, the man named by HBO as Bitcoin's mystery creator, Satoshi Nakamoto? So already, it doesn't matter if he's Satoshi or not, just because he was fingered by Hoback. That's right. HBO sent this guy Hoback to finger an innocent man. Now Forbes has to do, well, who is this guy anyway? Let's dig into his shit. Let's post his stuff. Oh, and they've got to put an ad right in the middle of the article too as you read it. So Forbes, yeah. Satoshi Nakamoto, the mysterious anonymous creator of Bitcoin, has successfully kept their real identity hidden since they published the Bitcoin's white paper in 2008. Eric PP confirms he did say it was Peter Todd. Thank you, Eric PP. Bitcoin has become a $1.2 trillion asset. Parentheses. These guys are addicted to explaining shit in the parens, bro. In the parens, they say, the one Wall Street giant has predicted it could go, it could be about to go far higher. Yeah. That's all I, by the way, if you fucking look for Bitcoin news to talk about like I do every week, you get these low tier brain lit articles every fucking week talking about 100K.
Oh my God.
And it's been talked about for 6, 7, 8, 9 years. And it's like, yeah, someday, but it's like the same day that your guy that you work with is going to join Nostr. You know what I mean? It's like far into the future. And you should be in no rush. You should be in no rush. We're here. We're still buying the shit. So like, we don't need a moon. Why the fuck would we need a price explosion? Why would we need a price explosion when we're still buying the shit and we really like it? And we like, the only reason that you would want a price explosion is so that you can make more dollars and you are missing the point. Anybody cheering number go up is missing the point. You should feel real actual pain every time that number goes up, because then your weekly buy gets you less sats.
All right.
That's what I feel. Every time the number goes up, actual real pain and regret. When the number goes down, I feel genuine pupil dilation excitement. I rush to my phone. I snatch a bunch up. I feel very great. Number go down, good. Number go up, bad. We got to start at the basics, guys. We got to start at the basics. If you ever hope to bring your coworker into Nostr, like you so desperately seem to need. So it has become a $1.2 trillion asset, bullshit parenthetical, over the last 15 years, making the man, woman, or group known only as Satoshi Nakamoto worth almost $70 billion if they still control the 1.1 million Bitcoins they've believed to hold access, they're believed to have access to across a series of wallet addresses, right? So we know the Satoshi addresses, they're OG. And also, I guess for the uninitiated, those Satoshi addresses are sort of a nice little canary of security in a coal mine, right?
Like, definitely.
We can be very comfy that those Bitcoin are sitting in a wallet for everyone to see that they haven't moved. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's kind of part of the reassurance, right? Like, wow, they're there. And you can't hack that. Now, HBO documentary filmmaker Colin Hoback, I know, I still can't believe it, you guys, he has named Peter Todd, although I'm pretty sure his parents named him, and this guy Colin fingered him.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And up in the lead.
You've got to get your accusations right, Forbes magazine. This was a fingering, and Peter Todd did not ask to be fingered, all right? Leave the boy alone. He's a Bitcoin developer who's been involved with Bitcoin since 2010, and that's who he believes is the real-world identity of Satoshi. What if the real reason for using the name Satoshi for the anonymity was so that people could take Bitcoin seriously, so they could believe it was created by a famous cryptographer and not some kid still in school, Hoback said during the Money Electric Fabulous Gayness on HBO before putting his theory directly to Todd, who was in his early 20s and finishing a fine arts degree in 2008, the year Nakamoto published the Bitcoin white paper, which was not written really by a college underclassman. In my estimation, although, you know, people can write, I guess, like, you don't have to be X amount of years old to write. It just seems a lot less likely. Here's what I think happened, possibly, Hoback said, speaking on camera to Todd and Adam Back. Yes, it was Adam Back in that photo. The chief executive of Bitcoin development company Blockstream that Todd has worked with since the earliest days of Bitcoin. Again, quoting Hoback here, the fingerer. I think that John Dillon, who is an anonymous Bitcoin talk contributor that some believe to have been linked to the intelligence community. He's a spook pseudonym that showed up on the Bitcoin talk forums. By the way, the Bitcoin talk forums is just an old school forum. If you remember the aughts, kind of late Bush, early Obama internet, and they had forums and you had little clout karma, post karma and all that kind of shit. And there was kind of like a, I don't know, like the basis of these forums, but everybody had this exact same forum, right? Like everybody had that looked the same. It was like the blue and tan forum, right? You know the forum.
Oh, yeah.
Your favorite game had a support forum that looked exactly like the Bitcoin Talk forums. So Bitcoin Talk, that's where people originally would get on and post and work on the Bitcoin protocol together. And that's where all of the known Satoshi Nakamoto quotes come from, is his posting on Bitcoin Talk from the short time that he was active in the space. PHPBB, says Eric PP. Yes, indeed. So anyway, getting back to quoting Hoback here, the fingerer. I think that John Dillon was created so you would have an excuse to make replace by fee, a concept you had envisioned years earlier but needed some kind of cover in order to make. And you also needed some cover for the 2010 post. So again, replace by fee is a way to bump a fee if it's pending in on the mempool to get it kind of confirmed quicker. This was Hoback's big theory, referring to Bitcoin Improvement Proposal 125. We call them BIPs, right? Nostra has NIPs, and they base their NIPs off of the BIPs from Bitcoin, their improvement proposals. And it was introduced by Peter Todd in 2015. And he's also referring back to a 2010 Bitcoin Talk post replying to Satoshi Nakamoto that Hoback believes was accidentally posted using Todd's profile. Hoback's theory relies on a chat log message written by Todd in which he claims to be, quote, the world's leading expert on how to sacrifice your Bitcoins. I've done one such sacrifice and I did it by hand, Todd wrote. So it basically all hinges on this one chat log where he makes this one reference to, hey, I'm the expert on how to sacrifice your Bitcoin. Excuse the fuck out of me, but if you run into any old head in this space, you will notice them by one tell, which is something to the effect of, I've lost more Bitcoin, right, than I will ever, ever own again in my life. Something to that effect. Now, some of them did it. I'm going to say them. Some of them did it through pure suicidal donation, right? Financially suicidal, let's say. Some did it through just testing. Some did it by buying a pizza from Papa John's or whatever it was. Some people did it through gambling. Some people did it through losing their password or their laptop or their hard drive. Some people did it by selling at 25 cents after buying at a nickel. But anybody who's been in for a long time can probably tell you that they used to have a bunch more. And it teaches you a few things. I think we heard similar things about on that from BitPunk on his episode, remember? And that's when I knew he was an old school G, when he said, you know, about all the Bitcoin he'd lost before. It's an important part of really getting not only the skin in the game and like the real actual lesson learned, you have to feel some pain, but it also kind of sets you straight on a path forward where you're not going to make that mistake again, and gives you ultimate confidence, right? Because then you learn, oh, I'm going to make sure nothing like that happens to me again. I'm not going to be foolish again, right? Wisens you up.
Yeah.
So to say that this is the big reveal, like, oh, well, he said that he's like the world's leading expert in burning coin. Yeah, I would hope a lot of people from the early days would probably say the same thing. Even if it's tongue in cheeky. Like I always bring up Laszlo with the pizza buy, right? Like he never cops to regretting that. Probably because he's internally laughing so hard. Like, yo, you thought that was all of my corn, huh? For one pizza? Like, no, I was stacking it up and I was like, hey, let's like use some of this for some real life shit. I'm going to spend some.
Yep.
But that was, they act like he gave all of his Bitcoin away and he didn't have any other than the pizza money. Dog, come on.
Yeah, you spend your life savings on a pizza.
That's a real Anderson Cooper report, reporting level right there. So anyway, I'm probably not going to watch this documentary, but I will be reading memes about it for the next 2 weeks on my favorite place on the internet, Nostr, which I love to view through NoStrudel, by the way, NoStrudel.ninja. How about that?
Yeah.
Our latest sponsor on the show.
Just kidding. That's a joke, too. We have no sponsors.
What else did I see? Okay, I watched a great video of Julian Assange.
Okay.
And he is, of course, been free for a while. He's been freed from his over decade-long imprisonment and fight for freedom and survival. And he, as I understand, this is his first public appearance. He's still a guy that's not the same Julian we knew from before, for sure. The solitary and all this type of shit has really taken a toll on his ability to kind of speak and express himself, although he does definitely get through it. Oh, here's a boost from user 566-304-545-955-355-666 at a fountain. 500 sats. They said pizza. Pizza! There we go. That's what the pizza costs these days, is 500 sats, actually. 500 sats a slice. Laszlo, what a moron. That guy got ripped off, you know? He lost a bunch of money, from what I understand. Anderson Cooper told me that he could have had a fortune, but he spent it on a pizza. Two pizzas, thank you very much. Parliamentary Assembly. So, I'm sorry, Julian Assange was speaking before the European Parliament here. They call it PACE, or the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe. Very fancy, very stuffy, very European. Ooh, that makes me really want to get at this fucking wine. We should do that as soon as we get behind the curtain. The Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe has expressed deep concern at the disproportionately harsh treatment faced by Julian Assange, and said this has had a dangerous chilling effect which undermines the protection of journalists and whistleblowers around the world. Now, in order to end the miserable indefinite hell that Mr. Assange found himself in, he was pretty much bully forced into pleading guilty to espionage bullshit. All he pled guilty to really was seeking sources information as a journalist and then publishing said information to the public. He never said anything that wasn't true. And, yeah, I mean, we all know all of this sneaky, dirty, gross shit that the government was up to in Iraq and Afghanistan, including blasting, journalists out of helicopters and giggling about it like it's a video game. It's rough, dude. Some of the things that he exposed were very, very embarrassing for the United States military and government, which is probably the scariest entities on planet Earth to piss off that we know and can name. So, yeah, of course he had a lot of people after him. In fact, he details the CIA's attempts to assassinate him and to fucking follow him around and even retrieve DNA from his baby child out of a diaper, among other intrusive, fucked up, spook CIA bullshit. Guys like Mike Pompeo and other associated scumbags. So anyway, the Parliamentary Assembly here has approved this resolution now on Julian's behalf. And, is trying to set forth to make sure that nothing like this could happen to anybody else. So I do encourage, and I'll leave a video of his talk in the show notes of his testimony, because it's an interesting talk and it's good to see Julian back on the global stage, although it's also really sad because you can tell that it's been a doozy. But hopefully some good comes out of this. It's hard to really imagine. Probably some more toothless shit. You know, you've got to like rein in the United States federal government and its military apparatus in order to make sure nothing like this happens to anybody else, which we all know how that seems kind of futile. Security through obscurity on that one. Speaking of obscurity, we mentioned last week there was an Ohio bill introduced to accept cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, as people could pay their taxes in it, right? So Colorado was the first to do this. Colorado always likes to be the first to do stuff. So Colorado has for 2 years accepted cryptocurrency for payment of taxes. And in that 2 years, it has not collected enough revenue to cover the cost of a single Bitcoin. Utah, the only other state to accept digital currency for taxes, hasn't received any payments at all. And so this is in the wake of an Ohio lawmaker introducing legislation just a couple of weeks back. Arizona came close this year to passing a bill, SB 1128, which would have directed the state to accept cryptocurrencies for the payment of tax fines and fees. And now Ohio's bill is in play. Louisiana's treasurer just announced the state would accept cryptocurrency as payment for certain state services, highlighting one resident's crypto payment of a $50 civil fine to the State Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Okay. So it's kind of funny. And a lot of people are scratching their head, like Omri Marian, they quoted, who is a professor of tax law at the University of California, Irvine School of Law, who says, I just don't understand why states want to do this other than the fact it may look cool. It makes no policy sense. It's an added collection cost to the state with no discernible benefit. And indeed, not a lot of people taking advantage of the ability to pay in Bitcoin.
I wonder why.
Paying taxes is already offensive enough. Okay, for me to pay it in Bitcoin would be the ultimate sin. I am going to give you your filthy, gross fucking pyramid eye money that you make me use. Like, you can have that, bro.
Yeah.
But I get it from the state side. Shit, I mean, I try to collect in Bitcoin. You know what I mean? So, like, I get it. You're like, hey, you can pay. The fucked up thing, though, is they probably just convert it to USD right away.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they already said, like at the very beginning of the story, Colorado banks $56,000 under crypto tax payment system. So probably that's what they're grabbing. They're going to let you pay in Bitcoin and then just going to shed it right back onto the market for USD. And this is, again, why rooting for mass adoption isn't quite it. I don't want mass adoption. Because this is what mass adoption looks like. This is just Bitcoin rails with a fiat system. I want people to actually get it. I'm rooting for people to get Bitcoin, gamble it away, and then feel like a retard in 6 years. I'm looking for people to use a custodian who fucks you over and then learn a big lesson. I'm looking for these kinds of micro ripples out there so that people can really get pilled into running a node and why it's so important. And then the bigger picture becomes clear. But one at a time, please. Not all at once. All at once will be a circus. All at once will cause bad shit to happen. There's a reason it was pennies for years before you ever heard of this shit, right? A slow roll. And as the network strengthened over time and became even more and more secure, adoption also kind of is slowly trickling out. Please, no mass adoption. Let the Roku TV be mass adopted. Thank you very much. Bitcoin is a different thing, which deserves a little more respect.
Amen.
Let me throw that one out because I'm going a little long. Who guessed? Let's do two more. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, Binance founder CZ, I tried to do a read thing of the pronunciation of his name, and it's Changping Zhao.
Yeah.
But in China, you say it backwards always, so it's Xiao Beicheng, Xiao Changping, Xiao Changping.
Oh, last name first?
Last name first, yeah. Like, Fa Mulan! In the Mulan yes. movie, you know? Yeah. And we would be like, no, it's Mulan Fa, you know what I'm saying? What, are they crazy over there? They probably drive on the wrong side of the road also.
I didn't know if they said the first name backwards too.
Oh, like Peng Chang.
Yeah, total backwards speak.
Yeah, I think
in tongues.
I think they do until the next Chinese Lunar New Year when it goes back to forwards again. Binance founder Changping Zhao was released from a correctional facility in California on Friday. Seems like just yesterday they chucked him in there.
Yeah.
After being held in federal custody for failures that allowed cyber criminals and terrorist groups to freely trade on the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. Chow, 47, pleaded guilty in November for failing to implement an adequate money laundering program at Binance, an exchange that began in Shanghai in 2017 and ballooned to process trillions of dollars worth of trades each year. Scott Taylor, a spokesman for the Bureau of Prisons, confirmed that he was released. Zhao was released from a halfway house in Long Beach on Friday. He had reported to a low security facility in June to serve his 4-month sentence. Isn't that wild? Who gets 4-month sentences and who gets consecutive life sentences? Like Ross Ulbricht, who is, looking for a pardon or dying in prison. Those are his two options. He's looking for a sentence commutation or getting old and dying in prison. Meanwhile, Changpei Zhao has billions and billions and billions of dollars, so he can get out in 4 months. 4 months of what I'm sure was just a nightmarish existence for a billionaire. He's also agreed to pay a $50 million personal fine. Binance paid $4.3 billion in penalties to settle a case that involved a litany of alarming allegations. And by the way, Binance still chugging.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you go to Binance.com, well, you will be promptly informed if you're me that Binance.com is unavailable in your country or region because you have to visit Binance.us, which is totally fine and good. But Binance.com, of course, brags that 234,158,926 users trust us.
Ooh.
So they still fooling hellas over at Binance after paying $4.3 billion in penalties, which I'm sure was a very funny joke at the water cooler, compared to the type of wealth these guys have access to. Even with the turmoil, the trading platform remains one of the most important crypto exchanges. There you go. Zhao's net worth is still estimated at around $30 billion. There you go. What's 4 months and $4 billion to me? Like, a funny story to tell people in the future is now what it is for Mr. CZ here. I don't know. Just wanted to highlight that, you know, different strokes for different net worths.
That's right. Pay to play.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it doesn't matter how many people you fuck or how much money you fuck them out of. It matters who are you and who's your daddy and how much money can you butter the bread with.
Can you afford the crime? Yep.
Tale as old as time. Tale as old as time. CZ, congrats on freedom, though. I don't like anybody to be locked up for the fake and gay crime of money laundering. It's made up bullshit. Okay. Tether, everyone's favorite stable coin. Do we like stable coins, bowlers? Let's find out. Tether assists U.S. Department of Justice. Wait till you hear this. In seizing over $6 million in alleged proceeds linked to crypto confidence scheme. Ooh.
Oh boy.
Wee. You hear what they're doing? Now, where am I reading this from? Is it from the U.S. Justice Department? Is it from CoinDesk? No, this is from Tether.io. This is their own blog. They're very happy to announce.
Proud.
They're very happy and proud to announce that they have helped the DOJ to seize over $6 million in alleged proceeds linked to con schemes, which, you know, fuck con schemes, okay? I'm not trying to say that the conners are cool. I mean, Dan Connor was pretty cool, but the con men, right, should be punished. Absolutely. But here, Tether is the big hero because they're the largest company in the digital asset industry, by the way. That's their lead. So you know this is a Tether blog post, press release, newsworthy. Announced today that it assisted the U.S. Department of Justice in successfully seizing over $6 million in assets. Tether's ongoing work with law enforcement highlights its approach to combating fraud and its commitment to working closely with authorities to protect those in the ecosystem. Ooh, how we feel about Tether, bowlers. Yesterday, the DOJ announced the seizure of funds from a crypto confidence scheme that defrauded individuals by mimicking legitimate platforms. Tether froze these assets, aiding the DOJ's swift recovery. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. publicly acknowledged Tether's assistance in transferring the assets. In the past 12 months alone, Tether has assisted U.S. law enforcement in several cases, including seizing close to $9 million in U.S. Tether, USDT, and nearly $5 million in USDT, disrupting pig butchering operations. Pig butchering operations. My eyebrows raised too. So I said, what in the fuck is that all about? Well, here's a U.S. Attorney's Office press release. Investment fraud disrupted by seizure of $5 million in cryptocurrency. The U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of North Carolina announced this seizure of nearly 5 million tether bucks, a cryptocurrency pegged to the U.S. dollar, right? And by the way, footnotes for those of you shit-staining along, a stablecoin like Tether is, its purpose is it's supposedly backed one token to $1 somewhere in their vault so that they can kind of keep a stable price so that one Tether is worth $1, right? That's their whole purpose.
Gross.
Known as a stablecoin, which is a type of coin under the larger shitcoin umbrella. These funds were traced to cryptocurrency addresses allegedly associated with the laundering of criminally derived proceeds stolen from victims of cryptocurrency investment scams, commonly known as pig butchering. So this is what pig butchering is. You find an old guy, you say, oh, you got an IRA, don't you want to put that in Bitcoin where it's safe? And then you warm up to him, he's the pig, get it? And so you say, hey, slide that over here, you can buy Bitcoin with it, then you'll have Bitcoin. Everybody loves Bitcoin. It's going to 100K in 3 months. These professional analysts have determined. You'll see a story on Forbes and a story on all kinds of legitimate websites. They ran this fucking story every other week for the last 5 years. And so you get a pig and you lead him to the slaughter. This is what the term pig butchering is. I learned that today. So there you have it. Tether. In the past 12 months alone, $9 million in one case, $5 million in the pig butchering operation case, $1.4 million worth of Tether tokens from a tech support scam network. Tether's approach to assisting law enforcement is a testament to its commitment to transparency and accountability within cryptocurrency. To date, Tether has assisted more than 180 enforcement agencies across 45 jurisdictions, blocked $1.8 billion in USD Tether, redistributed more than $128 million in USD Tether to its rightful owners and law enforcement, because what's the difference to these guys? Yeah. And voluntarily blocked over 1,850 wallets connected to illicit activity in assisting law enforcement globally. Tether is steadfast in its commitment to assisting law enforcement agencies worldwide in stopping the misuse of cryptocurrency, said Paolo Arduino. Yeah, CEO of Tether. Nailed it. Sorry, Paolo. I don't know what your name is. We stand ready to collaborate with government agencies and deliver all necessary tools to ensure that global bad actors are brought to justice and that ultimately the victims are supported. Tether remains resolute in its commitment to combat illicit activities and safeguard the integrity of the cryptocurrency ecosystem. You got a lot of work to do there, my man.
Yeah, bad actors calling out bad actors. Conning the conmen.
For more information on Tether's proactive efforts and actions, visit Tether Facts.
Oh.
I don't think I will.
No.
So yeah, Tether. Wow. That's their commitment. That's where they align.
Fact check, uncool.
Yeah. You helping the cops, you bunch of spooks. By the way, the story I threw out, we were following the chat control over there in the EU. They're gonna watch every single encrypted message that has an image attached. Supposedly, right? That was the proposal. So that has been, I'll just TLDR it for you. You're welcome. That has been squashed thanks to the spook community standing up and saying, well, you know, we can't have secret comms if all of the comms are monitored and uploaded somewhere to some central database. Yeah, no shit. So an unlikely hero in the privacy war.
Wow.
Fucking spooks.
Nice.
Dutch spooks said, wait, this is going to fuck up our scam, though. And they said, oh, well, just never mind. So there you go.
Mm.
Fantastic. In local news, we have this Friday, a Bitcoin coffee meetup at Take Care by Olio down in the Crossroads.
Nice.
7:30, ass crack at dawn. That's when that one kicks off, although people are usually there for a while, so you can show up a little bit later. I usually do show up at like 8:10. Come hang out, have a cup of Joe with us.
It's a great meetup. I like the morning ones.
Yeah, I like the morning meetups too. It's always good. Also, Chris was talking about still trying to do a Blocktoberfest.
Oh, okay.
And specifically said he wanted me involved. So I don't know when that's going to be. I think like Halloween Eve. So he's doing a Halloween party at his crib, which it's a Thursday. And I'm like, dude, I'm already taking the kids trick-or-treating on their own deal. So I'm like,
and I've got homegrown hits.
You've got
baby.
Homegrown hits. I'm like, you know, it's just too much going on Halloween for me to do a Halloween deal, right? Like, if I was 23 still, I would be there because I would have nothing else to do. But, you know, a decade later, it's a little bit different story, my man. So I think he's trying to do something Wednesday. I'll probably, you know, in Chris style, I'll learn about it just a mere 48 hours before it's supposed to go down. And then I'll show up and then we'll do the thing.
Yeah.
So if you're around and want to participate in a Blocktoberfest where you purchase my awesome 3D printed stuff for Sats, or if you'd rather, I'll bring some other junk I have laying around and you could purchase that for Sats too. Give you very good deal. Nice price. Best price. Low liquid discount price on what? I don't know what. You'll have to come find out.
That's right. Treasure hunt.
There we have it. Oh, one small note, because we're talking about our little micro circle. There is a new Ring of Fire in the works.
Ooh.
There's some people already on this thing who have been waiting patiently for me to get done with Ring 20. So we're starting Ring 21. Shit. This is something that's annoying. There's sheets and then there's docs. It's like so annoying. I won't say the name of the company everyone hates, but...
Sheety Doc.
Sheety Doc. SheetyDoc.net. Is it really number 20? I thought I had to go in number 21. All right, well, I'll have to look deeper into that. But we are doing a 1 million rings, 1 million sat Ring of Fire. There's room for one, maybe two more. So if you need liquidity and you have a million... Bitcoin plus, or excuse me, a million sats and some change, a million Bitcoin. If you have a million sats plus some change on the node there and you want to get two channels for the price of just opening one, hit me up. We'll get you added to that ring. We're building some liquidity for our friends and getting connected. And yeah. This is a great channel opening strategy, by the way. If you have finally built a node and you have some Bitcoin on that node and now you're like, all right, I want to get connected. I want to start, routing some payments on the network. I want to help other people receive payments, help move some money around on the Lightning Network. This is the best way to kind of learn how the whole thing works, because you learn through doing. Like, it's going to continue to make absolutely no sense until you get your hands dirty and build that node, open some channels, and see all of the stuff at play.
Yeah, get in the car and drive, damn it.
And if you have a different channel capacity that you're wanting to play with, even smaller ones, I can mess with a 500,000 ring sometime again. I'm not opposed to that. Always feel free to hit me up, Spencer@bullafterbull.com, if you're looking to organize a Ring of Fire. And that is the official end of the shit stain.
We now conclude our scheduled broadcasts for today. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to be with us again tomorrow. Good night.